This is Hemant.
And Jessica.
And you're listening to the Friendly Atheist Podcast. Please go to patreon.com/friendlyatheistpodcast to support this show and get ad-free episodes and bonus episodes. Mm-hmm. And I just have a bunch of stories. How are you?
I'm fine. Just to let you guys look behind the scenes, we couldn't figure out why the recording wasn't working. It's because I just didn't plug in the microphones.
That's
so the
where
wheels
we're at
are
today.
Coming off, that's, team.
That's okay.
It's 11 a.m. I am fueled on nothing but a very sweet caramel latte. Let's do it.
Let's do it. Let's talk about Iowa, which is where apparently every story I covered anyway this week was happening.
Really? Oh, good. That
for
means
some
I
reason.
Can use all my Music Man knowledge.
There you go. So in the Iowa State Capitol, they have an pretty much open forum when
What's
it comes
the
to
Iowa? Dubuque, Des Moines, Davenport.
Yeah, sure.
Mason
One
City,
of them. They have a policy where you can sign up to put your holiday display in the rotunda of the Capitol building.
Oh, we're still doing this?
We're still doing this.
Okay, let's
and
hear it.
Again, why are they doing this? Because they want a nativity scene there. This is why they enacted this policy.
Yeah.
They wanted a nativity scene there.
Yes. And so they don't care how much it costs the good people of Iowa
matter.
To do.
No, I mean, an outside group will do it. But they can't just let a nativity scene
right.
in there. So they have an open forum policy. You fill out the application as long as you're not doing anything we deem inappropriate.
Mm-hmm.
Fine. You can join in too. And the assumption on their end, the Iowa lawmakers who passed this legislation, is of course only Christians are going to be interested in such a thing.
Sure.
And so that's never the case.
Never.
And
ever.
This year, the Satanic Temple applied for and got approved their display.
Hey.
They wanted basically a Baphomet mannequin. It was actually supposed to be an actual goat skull head.
Oh, no.
The Iowa people said no actual goat skull. They said, fine.
Okay, I'm team so Iowa on this one.
So they have basically a goat skull made up of mirrors, and it looks kind of shiny and nifty.
Cool.
It is also wearing a red cloak. It's surrounded by a wreath.
Uh-huh.
Towards the bottom, surrounded by candles, you could see tiny little plaques that list the Satanic Temple's seven fundamental tenets,
mm-hmm.
one of which is like, one should strive to act with compassion and empathy toward all creatures in accordance with reason.
That's
so very normal, good stuff.
Mm.
And
I'm
of
sure
course,
nobody had a problem with it.
Nobody had a problem. Everyone is flipping their shit over this.
Of course.
As we are talking about this right now, here's what's in the rotunda today. Today being Thursday the 14th. The Freedom From Religion Foundation has their Bill of Rights display featuring, like, the Founding Fathers next to the Bill of Rights.
Mm-hmm.
The Iowa.
Not necessarily festive, but fine.
Fine. The Iowa Atheists and Freethinkers have a winter solstice display.
A little more in line.
Sure. A Catholic group called the Thomas More Society has a nativity scene there, and the Satanic Temple has their holiday display.
So and it's I only 4 say to that, 1? 3 to 1?
Yeah. I mean, the only reason I mention that is to say they have a bunch of stuff there because that's how their policy works.
Yeah.
And they even have a schedule on their website. You could see what's going on in the Capitol every day. And all of these groups are allowed to put up their display for 2 weeks. The Satanic Temples is coming down this Saturday, sometime this Saturday. None of this is
one
new.
At a time, then?
No, I mean, it's up for 2 weeks. Some of them may overlap,
oh,
but the
I see
Satanic Temples 2 weeks runs out this Saturday.
I see.
Fine.
Okay.
But this is what happens when you have a public forum. For years now, when Iowa said, we are opening the door to everybody, and then in subtext, it's
right.
like, in order to let the nativity scene in.
Right.
Ever since they started doing that, atheists have taken advantage of that policy,
mm-hmm.
which is to say they used it the same way Christians do.
Exactly.
There was one year where they said, we're limiting it to 8 displays. Atheists took 7 of them. It was glorious. So the fact that a satanic display is up this year, it's not new.
Mm-hmm.
It's not actually that interesting,
but
is provocative,
sure.
which is the point. That's
it's
why they exist. And every conservative in the world has taken the bait. For example, let's talk
really
about...
They really can't let anything lie, can
no.
they?
Here's an example from someone you have not heard of. His name is... He's an evangelist named Joel Tenney. But here's what he posted on Facebook when the display first went up. This is the grossest form of idolatry I have ever seen in my state. To see this in the Iowa Capitol, nonetheless. I will not stand for this. all it takes for the grossest of societal disease to spread is the indifference of good men. Why on God's green earth is the Baphomet demon given a place in our capital? I'd like to know who approved this and get them fired immediately.
That's not how any of it works. No.
And then he adds, who's going to bail me out? Which is ominous.
Are you going to murder him?
Ominous. And someone says, commenter on Facebook says, like, what's going on? What's happening here? And this Joel guy chimes in, Iowa. Yes, it's real. I'm going to tear it down. And then later.
Joel, bud.
Uh-huh.
The internet, it's forever.
Yeah, you know screenshots exist, buddy, right? Someone else asks, how much would bail be so I can send? To which Joel responds, I'm going to need it.
Ooh.
Someone else says, tear it down. He says, I'm going to. You'll have to help with bail.
Is there anything more cringy than guys doing the, like, I'm going to kill, you understand, I'm going to actually kill him, so whatever. And then it's just this circle jerk online to be like, yeah, I'm really going to do it. Yeah, you should do it. I'm going to do it. I need bail. I'm going to be violent. Violent's fun and cool. Like,
right. That is what he gets off on.
It's so boring.
And the Christians following him are right on board. To be fair, to be clear, he has not done this yet because he's all talk. I think there was a time when something...
And also, to be clear, we don't want him to.
No, we don't want him to. There is something that happened with the satanic display where I think it got tipped over, but I don't think it was malicious. Mm. I think it was just an accident, and then they put it back up, and everything's been fine since. Mm-hmm. So nothing has happened. If it did, there would probably be criminal charges because now you're destroying public property.
Right.
So, hopefully not.
Is this guy an Iowa gentleman, our friend Joel?
Yeah, I believe so. There's another woman, another right-wing troll, Shelley Flockhart, who told local media that the display was a very dark, evil force before leading a prayer group around the statue, which, fine, whatever, you're hilarious, didn't accomplish anything, but there you go. Here's where it gets worse.
So delicate.
There's a state representative, Brad Sherman. He's a Republican. He released a newsletter saying that church-state separation doesn't apply to this display because the state is inherently Christian.
Oh, wait, hold on.
Yes.
Sir, I think when you said the first part of the sentence, you didn't hear the second part of the sentence.
He says the Iowa Constitution refers to a supreme being. Therefore, here, let me quote his actual newsletter.
Oh, boy.
According to these opening lines of our Constitution, the state Constitution, the foundation for laws and continued blessing and success in Iowa is based on these points. Number one, there is one supreme God. Two, blessings over this state come from the one supreme God. Three,
that can't be one.
We must depend upon the one supreme God if we want to enjoy continued blessings. And you know that doesn't work because it's Iowa. So
where were those continued blessings when they fully fucked up the primaries in 2020?
Right. So
maybe you need to turn to Baphomet because Jesus did you dirty.
He went on to say he's calling for the governor, who is Republican, to have this blasphemous display removed immediately on the grounds that it is unconstitutional and offends God.
And who is this person? Does she have any clout? Or like, why are we listening?
He's a state rep.
Wait, say the name again?
This is Brad Sherman, a Republican state representative.
Oh, I was still
He's
on the
not a rando.
Person.
He also says, I want legislation to be adopted that prohibits satanic displays in our Capitol building, which literally is unconstitutional. That's why they changed the policy to what it is today. And
Wasn't
then he said,
Iowa, like, the first state to pass gay marriage or something like that? Like,
they were
what's gone down there in the last 10 years?
If you don't pay attention to the farmers, they come back to get you. And then he said, I'm calling for legislation to be adopted that makes it legal to display the Ten Commandments in our Capitol, in all buildings owned by the state, and in our public schools.
That felt like a step too far.
Everything is a step too far.
No, at least all the other stuff like has to do with like Christmas. And then he's like, and also this
I'm here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. While I've got your attention.
This is Christian nationalism.
I have this audition video I wanted to show you. Maybe you could pass it on to Lauren.
Yeah. Here's my demo. This is Christian nationalism, though. It implies that his religion is the only one that counts. Religions he doesn't like should be prohibited from having access to the Capitol in the same way everyone else can. He's basically urging lawmakers to shove his religion in everyone's face.
Yep.
But it didn't stop there. Ron DeSantis
really?
Went on a CNN town hall this week
in
Des Moines.
Can you stick to your own swamp?
I know. He was in Des Moines because he's betting everything on Iowa, which he's going to lose. But he was on CNN for a town hall. And of course, they asked him the question, should a new Satanic Temple holiday display be allowed to remain at the Iowa State Capitol? And the right answer is like, well, yeah, even though I don't like it, because that's how freedom of religion works.
Free
that's
speech
the right
doesn't
answer.
Only apply to speech you want to hear.
Right. Facts, feelings, doesn't matter, whatever those people say. Instead, you know what he did? You know what he said?
Oh, boy. He's going to murder somebody, isn't he?
He blamed Donald Trump.
What?
How? I dare. Pop
okay,
quiz.
Okay, okay.
How
okay.
did he blame this on Donald Trump? Because now he realized that fawning over Trump does not help him beat Trump in a Republican primary. So he said, oh, the satanic display, this is really Donald Trump's fault. Which is hilarious because no one's buying it, including
okay, I'm really thinking about how he could have done this. Is it something about his, like,
The answer is no, you're wrong.
Okay, no. This is what I'm landing on. Final answer is he riled up all the liberals so much that we're all wildin' now. And
not
now
bad.
They have to manage it.
Not bad. No, he said the IRS approved the Satanic Temple's nonprofit designation in 2019 under the Trump administration.
Well,
as if Trump personally approved it or knew what the hell's going on in the government.
okay.
And then he added, Ron DeSantis added, about the Satanic Temple, that's not a religion that the founding fathers were trying to create.
Is it Which, a hot take that I don't give a shit what the Founding Fathers said anymore?
That is no longer a hot take. That is the correct answer. And also, you know what else the Founding Fathers didn't try to create? Islam. Hinduism. The type
Mormonism.
The type of Christianity that most of these people practice. And also, none of it matters because if there's anything we know about what they were trying to do, it's religious freedom and all that good stuff.
I think our country is older than Mormonism is. And our country is pretty
Mormonism,
young.
Mormonism was invented in 1987.
Thinking of Scientology again.
Yeah.
But, like, truly, like, how can you hold that argument and be like, truly, they've never even heard of Joseph Smith and his special golden plates when they wrote this Constitution. But they were definitely thinking of that, but not Satanic Temple. I don't know.
And again, the right answer would have been
serious arguments.
The right answer would have been easy. It's saying, you know what? I don't like the display, but this is what their policy is in Iowa. If you don't like it, you should change the like. There's so many ways to get around this. If you cared about, you know what? It doesn't matter what you like or don't like. If we have freedom in this country, you can make a freedom argument for why you don't have to like it, but it can stay up.
Yeah.
Instead, it's Ron DeSantis, so he chooses the dumbest answer available to him.
But it's, and I think that's such a good indicator of this sort of small government blah, blah, blah thing has always been bullshit. It's always been about Christian nationalism because this is that. This is freedom of speech. This is small government, is letting everybody participate in your little pageant.
Yep. And then, Governor...
Oh, my God, we're talking about Christmas displays.
I know, it's like, such low-hanging fruit.
Yeah, like, let's never lose sight of the fact that these guys are tying themselves in knots over something that literally does not matter.
Which is Ron DeSantis' whole thing.
Fair
I'm going to do everything I can to hurt people who are not hurting me at all.
Yeah.
Governor Kim Reynolds, who is also Republican, she didn't go quite that extreme, but she put out a literal statement on the display, like with her stamp of approval on it, that said, like many Iowans, I find the Satanic Temple's display in the Capitol absolutely objectionable. In a free society,
it's pretty gentle language.
In a free society, the best response to objectionable speech is more speech, and I encourage all those of faith to join me today in praying over the Capitol and recognizing the nativity scene that will be on display, the true reason for the season.
I mean, I guess that's okay. Like, you're representative, so maybe you should slow your roll a little bit. And remember that representative means you represent other
people who don't agree with you.
Yeah.
I'm trying to figure out. She said the display is absolutely objectionable. And I want to go back to that because what do you not like about the display? Is it the part of the seven fundamental tenets that say, here's one, the spirit of compassion, wisdom, and justice should always prevail over the written or spoken word. Maybe it's the line that goes, to willfully and unjustly encroach upon the freedoms of others is to forego one's own. Like, which part of that are you objecting to? Is it the look? It's the look.
It's scary. A creepy little guy. Do you have a picture? I really want to see it.
Sure, you can come see the picture. Yes. But that's the whole thing. Like, this is not an objectionable display if you actually look at it. Yeah, it's a goat's head. Sorry that, like, triggers you. The actual text on the display is something I want them to call it out. I want them to say, oh no, I don't believe we should be kind and decent to each other. Then
yeah,
say
but they're
that.
Not going to do that because that's not what they're talking about. They're talking about the aesthetics of it all.
Right. They know their followers and their voters are dumb enough never to look up what the display actually shows, what it says. They just say they see Satan they jump to every conclusion.
The thing is though, like, if you look at that, that does not say Satan in any way.
No,
besides
it doesn't.
The like big red robe. I mean, it's kind of creepy. I'll give you that. But I think that's, you know,
Kim Reynolds, after that prayer gathering, she said, this is proof, quote, proof that in the battle between good and evil, good will always prevail.
Why is that proof?
I have no idea. She doesn't know what proof is.
What good is prevailing?
I don't know.
What is she talking about?
She's implying that the satanic display is evil. Which part? Is it the promotion of kindness? Is it the promotion of reason-based decency? Which part is evil? Tell us. She won't because she knows this is just a big scam.
Because no matter what, in their little universe, Satan is the big bad, and there's nothing we can say to make them understand that, like, this is your fiction. We are just playing in the space with you.
Right.
This is
who
your
believes
world.
In Satan? That's you people.
This
it's
is truly like
else.
Playing D&D and then getting mad that like a druid comes up. I don't know what to tell you, my dude. Like, this is what you signed up for.
Here's another one. Here's another response that I found astonishing. This is from a professor of Christian ethics at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary.
Oh boy.
Andrew Walker is his name. He wrote this in the Christian publication World, World in all caps, because that's how they roll.
Oh, God.
But he said, you know, he's a staunch advocate of religious liberty.
But
this satanic display should not be allowed because, quote, a well-ordered society will keep satanic nonsense out of government buildings. Here's what he wrote in the essay. Satanism, whether real or pretend, is an outright celebration of evil, darkness, and perversity. So in my view, there should be no satanic displays in government buildings. At some point, political communities determine that some moral evils reach a threshold of such harm that they can no longer be allowed and are restricted through criminal punishment.
Holy shit.
I know, he went
criminal
crazy.
Punishment.
But basically he's saying, I'm all for religious liberty, but that doesn't apply to people I don't like.
Oh,
and again, I ask, which part of the display do you not like? He did not say that because there's nothing in the display that any of these people actually object to.
I would also like to know what societal ills he's referring to about this whole kind of... Like, what is it that Satan is doing? Is it
at least through the satanic temple... Like, what are they doing that you find so evil? What do you... I mean, you can pretend.
No,
Satan himself.
Satan, the character in their fiction.
Yeah, what
right?
do you think he's responsible for? It's everything they don't like.
But it's...
Also, the preachers who molest kids, that's also Satan. That's
what
not
I'm
the
saying.
Preachers.
It's like, when they say, oh, all this stuff is bad, are they referring to the fact that we have a hugely impoverished population despite people working a lot and
that's Satan and
making?
Liberals.
Like, it's just, what are the ills? Is it children dying of preventable diseases? Mm-hmm. Like, all of these, like, what
it's is It's all problems it? They personally contribute
this
to.
This is what I am saying. And, like, what do they think Satan is doing that they are not doing harder?
Yep. I mean, correct question. The one surprising statement came from another state representative who is also a Republican. His name is John Dunwell. And here's the statement he put out. Wait for it, okay? My observation as an Iowan and a state representative, I don't want the state evaluating and making determinations about religions.
Woo!
I am guided by the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. My faith is never imposed upon others, nor should it ever become a direct part of government.
Mm.
Basically saying...
He did it!
Yeah. basically saying, I'm a Christian. I don't like the display. It's not our job to police all this. He added later, as a lawmaker, what would he actually do? He said, quote, I would monitor the number of organizations requesting displays. I don't want the Capitol to be overwhelmed by displays. In the future, we may need to find a way to appropriately limit the number of displays, which is a stupid thing to say because you could limit it to one and the Satanists could get it. Right. And then what are you going to do? Right. And again, I repeat what I said earlier. They have tried to limit the number of displays before and it backfired because atheists swiped up most of the spots. But at least he has the right idea.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what he thinks. Satan has had a right to it. They followed the rules. And if you're bothered by it, too bad. It's up for 2 weeks. Why don't you do what you tell us to do with nativity scenes? Don't look at it if it bothers you.
Yeah, just ignore it. Like, are you going to the Iowa Capitol that much that this is sort of a problem for you in your day-to-day life?
None of these people would have even known it existed. The display had no real power.
Heaven doesn't even know what the capital of Iowa is. I don't know either.
Haven't been there. No, I
You haven't?
I'm sure I have.
It's been a while.
The display shouldn't have any powers. But look, he's right. The state has the choice of allowing all displays or none at all. That's their choice. They've decided to go with all displays that at least follow their rules. That's fine. They don't discriminate.
Des Moines.
Look at me. And so if they want a nativity in the Capitol Rotunda, they have to allow for the possibility of other displays too. That includes ones they don't like. The only other option on the table is say no to all of them.
Yeah.
They could do that, too. Christians don't get a monopoly in the state capitol.
I feel, this discussion, I have such a love-hate relationship with because it takes me back to, this is going to be very nostalgic, it takes me back to 2011 when I was leasing apartments in Chicago for only commission, and was just sitting waiting for clients to come in and just scrolling the Friendly Atheist all day. And all of it was like just small towns being big mad about their display thing. And I remember thinking then or reading what you said or whatever, like, and this is, I want to be clear, this is before Heaven and I ever knew each other, of just like, then just don't have them. Like, all of the, like, that's all we wanted. It's not, we don't need to spend $2,000 creating this elaborate Baphomet statue. What we want is religion not to be a part of anything. And it's just like, this is 12 years on, 13 years on.
Yeah.
It's the same fucking thing, and they're not learning any lessons.
I was as surprised as you are when it comes to, really, we're still doing this particular story?
Like, all right. It feels nostalgic in a way of like the way that what's his face who said legitimate rape. Remember that guy? Like, it's almost nostalgic for, like, it's everybody acknowledged
what he's... This is the Republican Senate candidate.
Yeah, what was his name?
Todd Akers?
Akins, right. From Missouri, I think.
Something like that. But
and
yeah.
He said basically that we should
He said what they all say in private rooms, like, rape doesn't count unless it does something.
Right. And it just, like, all of that stuff, which is also evil as fuck, but that was the kind of thing we were dealing with, not this sort of like national lampoonery with DeSantis.
Right.
And it almost makes me nostalgic in a weird way that like he was our big bad and then we got rid of him and got Trump.
Right.
Anyway, that was just sort
of the funniest thing to me is Dunwell, that Republican who actually said something semi-sensible, he was disparaged in the comment thread for that post. Like, every Christian's like, how dare you? And he posted a follow-up later. I am shocked, all caps. So many want to give up their freedom so they don't have to see a display they disagree with. Mm. It's like, buddy, have you met your own party?
But at least he's doing the thing, right? At least he's like in there mixing it up, being like, hey gang, like what the fuck are you guys doing? Because we've been doing it for a decade, but there's only so much we can do because I'm a very annoying speaker.
I reached out to him. I'm like, basically wanting to know, are you going to cave on this? Like, are you going to keep defending this in the wake of all this backlash? Because you're definitely getting backlash. He did not respond to me. There was another Republican, another state representative, Steve Holt, who told the Des Moines Register, again, sensible response. While I totally hold a total disdain anything that this organization stands for, that's not grammatically correct, that is what he said, I nonetheless believe they have the constitutionally protected right to put up the display. Mm. Yes, you're right. Again, I go back to, what is it that you have a disdain for? What does the organization represent that you don't like? None of them will answer that question because they're all real dumb. And they don't want to explain. Is it the part that says, like, if one makes a mistake, one should do one's best to rectify it and resolve any harm that might have been caused? Because that's what the Satanic Temple stands for, at least on paper.
I do feel like, Hemant, you are not necessarily approaching this the way Christians are, because you're expecting them to read
and
learn.
Do the bare minimum of research.
But they are just a sort of gut-based people, and they see a skull and a yellow robe, and they are big scared.
Yeah. I'm going to move on to a different story, which,
like
I said, is also in Iowa.
Thank God. I haven't even sang that much Music Man yet.
So my buddy Justin Scott, who is a longtime activist in Iowa, he said he was driving his son to like a tournament of some sort. He drives through a city called Toledo. Famous Toledo is in Ohio. There's another Toledo in Iowa.
Toledo, that's what they call it locally.
Yep. So there's a city
of
Toledo.
Toledo or
He's
famous Toledo?
Driving past the fire department, sees a nativity scene there.
Oh boy.
He knows as well as everyone else does, you can't have a nativity scene outside a fire department. So he basically gets in touch with their city hall, tries to tell them, you're setting yourselves up here for like a lawsuit. I don't want that to happen. The Freedom From Religion Foundation sent a letter to the city saying, yeah, everything he said is correct. You can't do that. Here's what FFRF said in a letter. By prominently displaying this nativity scene on public property, the city abridges its duty to remain neutral toward religion. The best solution is to remove this nativity scene and discontinue hosting religious displays on public property altogether. That's the right answer. This goes back to, yeah, that was the right answer like 12 years ago. It's still the right answer today. For what it's worth, Justin Scott took a different approach, and he said, I'm fine with the nativity scene. But then if you're going to have it up there, you got to have other religious symbols in the display, which is also accurate. Mm-hmm. You can keep it up, but you can't just have the baby Jesus be the only game in town.
Is he local to Iowa?
He is in Iowa, yeah.
Oh, okay.
So basically, he and FFRF both agreed that the current version of the nativity scene only is illegal.
Yeah.
There's no question about that. So then the question is, how is the city going to respond on this? And the mayor, his name is Brian Sokol, he took a predictably defensive route, basically acting like this is persecution from anti-Christian haters. He said, it's unfortunate that we even have to have this discussion. It was donated, the nativity scene, it was donated to the city and has been up every year for 15 to 20 years, which is wild because he's confessing that we've been breaking the law for 20 years.
Well, and here we come to the crux of how this is, what this has always come to, because 12 years ago, I've always been like, this is stupid. Like, this is a dumb fight. We look like assholes. We being
atheists.
Yeah.
However, church, state, separation crowd.
However, when they get into, well, it's been up for 20 mm-hmm. years or 5 years or 6 months and nobody said anything, that is why we have to be vigilant on this kind of thing.
If you don't stop it, it becomes tradition. And if it becomes tradition, the Supreme Court has already ruled that, well, religious, like Christian nationalism, if it's in the name of tradition, that's legal.
So if anybody else like me feels kind of yucky covering these, like it just feels so like small stakes. And I understand it is, and I understand all the other shit, but it just feels petty and small. That's how I kind of keep myself from feeling like a legit Scrooge of like,
but if they don't stop it, it's going to keep happening.
It's going to keep happening. And then we have,
and they'll use that as the basis to do far worse stuff in the name of Jesus.
Yep.
And that's another fear. So immediately after FFRF sent that letter, the city did move the display off the fire department's property, like a block away somewhere that is private property.
Mm-hmm.
Fine. Good for now. But this last week, the city posted a message on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
This is the city of Toledo, Iowa's Facebook page. In case you're wondering where the nativity display went in front of the fire department, here is the letter we received due to a complaint. If you wish to voice your opinion, either way, it'll be on the council agenda Monday at their city council meeting. And they post FFRF's letter.
Wait, they're...
The city's
vote
nudging.
On the First Amendment?
Yeah, they're going to vote on, or they're going to discuss it or something. Mm. So that was last week. They posted this thing. Got basically, the city is nudging everyone. Hey, everyone, this happened. And if you're pissed about it like we are, just show up on Monday. So they had their city council meeting on Monday. And? They did not decide anything. And because it's a small town, they're not legally required to like live stream their meetings and save it online. So I can't see it. But news reports basically said that the end result, where everyone in the town, you can imagine whatever you think stereotypically this town is like, correct. At the end of the meeting, the city council member said, "We're meeting with our attorneys to see if there's a legal way to make the display acceptable at the fire station."
And we know it.
Uh-huh. And one of the city council members allegedly said, "The support is definitely there to keep the nativity set up." And again, we already know what the possible ways to keep it up there are. You can keep it up, but allow an open forum for other displays. Mm-hmm. But guess what? Like in the Capitol, that means you might get a satanic display. Mm-hmm. You can keep it up, but you can't have the baby Jesus be the only game in town. You could put up symbols from other religious traditions and act like it's just a generic holiday display that includes Christianity. That's okay. Or you could take it down and just move it to a church. If the whole thing is we want it to be up, I'm sure there are like 97 churches in this three-block town, whatever it is, that would love to have it. The people who want it up, including the daughter of the guy who built it, they don't just want it up. They want it on government property. That's the problem. And FFRF is doing them a favor by saying, yeah, the one thing you're doing now is the thing you can't do. Fix it now before it becomes a problem. And yet, like, I read articles about this particular display. They included commentary from the daughter of the guy who hand-built the nativity scene. She's like,
I need her opinion on this.
Yeah, he made the display from wood some 30 years ago.
What?
I know. And then she added, "It was found out that this person," she's referring to Justin Scott, "doesn't even live in our community. This person is from another community, not even connected to our county." Doesn't matter. You still have to follow the law. Yeah. That's how the law works. Just because it took an outsider who saw it to say, yeah, you can't break the law like that. They should be thanking him and then giving him a key to the city.
Here's the problem. Here is the problem is that the city fucked up and fucked its residents
for 20 years.
For 20 years. Because
and they got away with it.
They got away. Well, and because now the narrative is, well, this is a thing that we've had in our community forever. And then these evil outsiders. And now it's causing all this agitation and arguments and disruption in this community. And it did not have to.
Mm-hmm.
The city set its citizens up for failure, and that sucks.
And it sucks for the. And again, there's no lawsuit right now. FFRF, I'm telling you, they don't want to file these lawsuits. They would much rather just have
lawsuits
fix
cost
the
money,
problem.
I presume. So like, that's not a first action,
right? So we'll see how that ends.
Oh boy.
So I have more stories from. I'm kidding. No more from Iowa. Oh. Here's
provided
an interesting.
Provided you are contrary.
I assume that's a Music Man reference.
It's a Music Man reference.
Let's talk about the ACLU.
Love is love.
Nope.
All around. Go ahead.
They're the ACLU. They do have a long history of defending conservative groups.
Mm-hmm. The KKK, famously.
Right? Trying to do rallies in cities. And it's like, do you defend free speech when it's unpopular? And the ACLU's argument is, like, if you don't do it when it's unpopular, what the hell are we doing? So I do understand why they defend conservative groups in certain cases on First Amendment issues. That's fine. I'm glad they're doing that because right-wing groups very much don't do that. So this week, they announced a lawsuit, a First Amendment lawsuit. Guess on whose behalf?
Jesus.
This was a little surprising.
Jesus.
Yes, on behalf of Jesus.
Wait, seriously?
Very litigious. No.
Oh.
On behalf of Christian pseudo-historian David Barton.
I fucking hate
and his
David
organization,
Barton.
Wall Builders. So
Wall Builders.
That's his
sir,
ministry.
Sir, Wall Builders?
Yeah.
Sir, what do you think Jesus was about? Building walls between people?
And that makes
golly,
it,
think for a fucking second.
You would think Wall Builders should be the name of, like, Americans United for Separation of Church and
Truly.
State. Like, we're building the wall between church and state.
Or
David,
like,
Barton is tearing down the wall, trying to.
Well, he's putting up the wall between the United States and Mexico. I assume that's what he's talking about.
He's a wall breaker of sorts. But yeah, so David Barton, here's what they were trying to do. Let me tell you his side of the story. They wanted to post ads on the Washington, D.C. buses. And this is run by a government organization called the Washington Metropolitan Area Transit Authority, WMATA. He wanted to post ads on the buses, and they said there's a picture. It's a famous painting of George Washington basically kneeling in prayer. Famous painting, yeah. And the ad text says, "Christian, to find out the truth about the faith of our founders, go to wallbuilders.com." So that's one of the ads they wanted to put up. The other ones, it's the same text.
Do you think he knows that a painting isn't a photograph? And yeah, that anybody can paint.
That was a real life Polaroid right there.
Do you think he knows that Donald Trump and JFK and Abraham Lincoln didn't all have poker together too? Yeah. Poker together, play poker.
There was another ad that they tried to do. Same text, like basically Christian question mark, find out the truth about the faith of our founders. But this one's a picture of like the founders putting together the Constitution. Whatever, it's David
and Jesus is hovering over them in a cloud.
So the paintings, at least the George Washington painting, I'll talk about that for a second. It is misleading. I have no problem with the picture of the founders trying to write the Constitution. The picture itself is fine.
Yeah, I feel like I know that one.
And there's nothing in the text of the ad that says anything problematic either, because it says, oh, you want to find out about the faith of our founders? Go to our website where we'll lie to you.
It feels very similar to atheist campaigns. Like, don't believe in God in big, bold letters. Yep. Find out more. Like, it's fine. It's a fine campaign. It's not original, but whatever.
Right. So a couple things to point out about this. The WMATA, this is according to the ACLU now, they rejected those ads. Mm-hmm. Why? On the grounds that they violated the group's advertising guidelines, which prohibit advertising intended to influence members of the public regarding an issue on which there are varying public opinions. To put that another way, the group says, we don't do religious ads, we don't do political ads, and we don't do advocacy ads. This falls under the advocacy thing, and they're saying you can't do advocacy because you're trying to make the public go. It's not, if you were selling a cross, that would actually be fine. Now you're selling a product.
Wait,
but if you're saying be a Christian, we want to steer you toward a particular ideology, they're saying that crosses our boundaries, so we're saying no to you.
What would be the difference between advocacy and religion? Because I would assume this is religion, but it's not. Well, it's so advocacy.
This is what the ACLU argued. They said, but you guys have allowed ads that call for term limits for Supreme Court justices. That's advocacy.
That's advocacy.
You've also allowed ads promoting the Book of Mormon musical, which you could either argue promotes Mormonism, it does not, or you could argue it spoofs Mormonism, but isn't that advocacy or religion? Like, you can't say yes to all of those and then say no to David Barton's ads. And you know what? On that part, I think the ACLU is correct.
That seems fair.
Like, the WMATA's policy is vague.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem to be applied equally. And that's really the only, like, you have one job and you're not doing it well.
These subjective kind of calls are probably very hard to justify, I'm sure.
And so the ACLU says in their press release for the lawsuit, the ACLU defends these suits regardless of whether it agrees with the underlying message because it believes in the speaker's right to express it. The government cannot arbitrarily decide which voices to silence in public forums. So on all of that, I agree with the ACLU. I don't love that they have to defend Barton, but I think in principle they are right to defend Barton. Let me talk really briefly about that George Washington ad, because they don't get into this in the lawsuit, but I do think it's worth talking about. That particular picture, George Washington kneeling, the painting of him doing that, that is actually a painting that is famous enough. It was suggested by a priest named Mason Weems. He created the story that George Washington did this, that he prayed before like a battle or something. I'm quoting Andrew Seidel here, who wrote in the book The Founding Myth about this very painting.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, because this painting has been everywhere in right-wing circles. For all the painting's ubiquity, there's no historical evidence to support the tale. Historical facts tell us of a different Washington. He was a man of little or no religion, with a strong character that, had he been religious, would have prevented showy religious displays. Andrew goes on to say, if he was religious, Washington was exceedingly private about those beliefs, even in personal letters and papers. The ostentatious show Weems invented, that is depicted in this painting, is simply not in keeping with Washington's strong, silent character. You may have seen online, like, paintings that this Trump MAGA superfan paints of Donald Trump, like, with six packs, abs, looking like a superhero,
so embarrassing,
doing crazy things. And it is cringy, totally. People make fun of him all the time. But that's kind of what we're seeing with this Washington painting.
Oh, yeah.
It's a painting depicting Washington doing something that by all evidence, he never actually did and probably wouldn't do based on the evidence we have.
I mean, and also just to take like a little jaunt to the side, maybe the deification of George Washington is something we should kind of get away from, because I don't know if you've been to D.C., but when we went there for a reason rally, we walked into, I assume, one of the many Smithsonians, and there is a fucking marble statue of George Washington that is like, it is 20 feet wide if it's an inch. Mm-hmm. Like, and it's marble, and it looks like a Roman god, and it's like, well, he was a slave owner who died of, like,
thought we were trying to get away from the kings.
Yeah, like, it's just one of those things of, like, I understand that, like, it is innate in humanity to look to, like, mythical figures. That's why we invented religion, but, like, they were humans and lived not that long ago, and we know more about them. And he owned slaves, gang! Yeah.
And again, none of this has to do with the lawsuit, but it just shows you the type of mythology David Barton promotes.
It's just the color that I provide.
Yeah. And again, this doesn't negate the fact that the ACLU is still right, I think, to defend David Barton.
I think so, too.
But here's the problem, and I will fully admit, this was first pointed out, I saw it first through Warren Throckmorton, who's a professor who's been covering David Barton for more.
Warren Throckmorton is a professor? I never would have guessed.
He's wonderful. He's covered Barton for years. He's actually going to release a podcast starting in January on David Barton's lies.
Fuck yeah, I'm in.
But he pointed out this thing that was really surprising that I didn't catch at first when I saw the headlines about this, which is I'm speaking on his behalf here. I get why the ACLU is defending David Barton. Mm-hmm. Fine. I'm going to read you what they say in their press release, because this is messed up.
Oh, boy.
The lawsuit was filed on behalf of Wall Builder Presentations, or Wall Builders, an organization advocating for Americans to understand their history and the important role religion played in the founding of our nation, which sought to advertise on the side of these metro buses. They describe Wall Builders. The ACLU describes Wall Builders like with David Barton's stamp of approval. They described it as an organization that actually wants to help Americans learn their history and the role of religion in the founding of our nation. That is bullshit.
Yeah.
Here's what the lawsuit says that the ACLU signed off on. A plaintiff, Wall Builders, sought to advertise on the side of these metro buses to promote its religious and educational mission, which is to inform the public about the role that the founders' religious faith played in the creation of the nation and the drafting of the Constitution. Now, the framing there says this is what they say their mission is. But the press release says this is what they are. And that is unfair and untrue. And it is upsetting and angering that the ACLU, which is still doing the right thing here, went along with the framing that says David Barton is in the right because his mission is one that is whatever. They're trying to dismiss it. It doesn't matter what he believes.
Yeah.
But they're saying, they're giving it credence. That is not right. David Barton does not want to inform the public about the role of the founders' faith in order to help Americans understand their history and the important role religion played. He purposely wants to lie about that stuff to trick the most gullible Christians into thinking we were founded as a Christian nation. Like, that is his mission. You don't have to go along with his lie. The ACLU could just as easily have said, look, this is a guy who lies about this stuff. They could have easily said David Barton is lying, but lying isn't against the WMATA's policies, and we defend his legal right to spread lies in the name of Jesus.
I mean, I do feel like lying is a pretty inflammatory word, and I do not think the ACLU
don't
would
use
my,
it. This is why I don't work as their press
think?
But fine, they could have said, we disagree with what Barton is doing. We disagree with his version of history. However, the fact that we disagree with his points here doesn't mean he doesn't have First Amendment rights as well, and we only support the First Amendment side of this thing.
Are you feeling very betrayed by the ACLU right now?
No, they betrayed me before. They support a lot of things they don't have to support. Like, I will say, here's why I think this happened, and I don't know this, and I haven't gotten an answer yet, but ACLU isn't the only group defending David Barton here. The right-wing First Liberty Institute, a conservative legal group, is also partnering with the ACLU on this lawsuit.
Strange bedfellows.
Very strange bedfellows, and they make a note of that in their lawsuit as well. I know you don't see us together most of the time, but on this issue, it's a First Amendment issue, and we both support this, which is their case to the judge. Like, look, we both agree on this, so be on our side on this. And that's fine, and it's not the first time that sort of thing has happened. But I feel like this is First Liberty Institute saying, hey, David Barton's a good guy who just wants to educate people, and the ACLU didn't correct them on it, and they just went along with it. That's my theory about what happened here.
I would say that, what's the expression? Like, don't blame evil when stupidity is more likely, or something to that effect.
Is this incompetence, or is it malicious?
It feels like, I mean, if you've worked in, you know, you're a journalist, you know, when you see something that's supposed to be a news article, but it's obviously just a press release with like three sentences changed and somebody's name slapped up on it. That's what this feels like to me, of like somebody just not doing the legwork that they were supposed to do. But this is a huge lawsuit. Like in the context of ACLU, would this be considered a huge lawsuit, or is it one of many?
But it's a federal lawsuit, and it's a First Amendment issue. Small stakes compared to other stuff they do, but all of this stuff is a big deal.
I guess I'm wondering if this just got shuffled down to like the intern. And
I think the answer is no. They had. I looked at the lawsuit. There were four ACLU lawyers signed off on this thing. Plenty of people looked at the draft of the lawsuit, and plenty of people
signed off on the draft.
Yes, signed off on the draft, and presumably signed off on the press release too. And none of them. And again, here's what's going to happen. I'm predicting this now. By allowing Barton's allies to frame him as like a hero, you can bet he's going to parrot that when he delivers another speech to a gullible Christian church. Because he will now say to these audiences that he speaks in front of, even the godless liberal ACLU understands that Wall Builders works to help Americans understand their history and the important role religion played in the founding of our nation. Stupid. And he wouldn't be wrong if he says that, because that's what the ACLU's press release says.
Yeah.
Like, he would be mischaracterizing the statement, as he always does.
Of course.
But at the core of his lie is this nugget of unfortunate truth.
Yeah, absolutely.
The ACLU could have framed this differently and still been in the right. Instead, they framed it wrongly, let him use them to his advantage, and they don't have to help him promote his lies, but they're doing it.
That's too bad. What is that Wall Builders, or that David...
The podcast that he's doing?
Yeah.
It is called, this is Warren Throckmorton. His podcast that he's doing on David Barton is called Telling Jefferson Lies, because Jefferson Lies is the title of the David Barton book that contains so many lies about Thomas Jefferson.
Introduction to Telling Jefferson Lies. Subscribing.
Book was so full of misinformation that his own publishers at a Christian organization said, dude, you're lying too much. We can't sell this book. And they removed it from the bookshelves and then continued selling the Bible.
Oh, I'm very excited.
Ironically.
I just subscribed. And in case you're wondering, Throckmorton spelled exactly like it sounds.
There you go.
No tricks there.
Little side note here. In 2017, the Archdiocese of Washington, D.C., they also sued the WMATA because the same company rejected an ad of theirs it showed a picture of the Magi traveling, and it said, find the perfect gift. And it led to a website. And basically the implication is, give God a try for Christmas. The billboard, the ad, I mean, it's not, whatever. It is what it is. It's an advertisement from a Catholic organization. The WMATA said, we're not doing that ad because, again, you could argue it's religion or advocacy or whatever. Mm-hmm. And a judge sided with the WMATA. The
really?
Judge said, we don't care about your guidelines, but you are apparently applying them equally.
Oh, that makes sense.
So the difference now, the difference, and by the way, an appellate court upheld that ruling. Mm. The Supreme Court, even in 2020, did not take up the case. Mm. So basically, the WMATA got away with that. The difference with the ACLU's lawsuit now is that they're now providing examples. Like, you have let stuff slip by. So clearly, you're not applying this rule equally.
Yeah.
And that's why we're suing, because you're now discriminatory against a particular viewpoint.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you shouldn't be doing. And again, ACLU's right, but they could have done it better.
Yeah, that's disappointing, but, you know, in the grand scheme of things that have disappointed me.
Everything should be disappointing.
I'm constantly disappointed. How dare you imply that I'm not constantly disappointed,
Much
Hammond.
Better. Thank you.
With myself, with you, with the world.
Here, let's move on from Iowa. We can go to Nebraska now. This is surprising.
God, our Midwest tour continues.
Who's about to be the largest landowner in Nebraska?
Stanley, Nebraska.
Correct.
Buying his land back from his ancestors. Go
yes,
ahead.
That is how it works.
Who is it? Wait, in Nebraska, who is the largest landowner?
Largest single landowner.
Is it going to be
Nebraska,
like a Monsanto's type corporation?
I understand where you're going with that. The answer is no.
Okay.
Answer, Mormon Church.
In
Nebraska. They are now,
stop pretending the Mormon Church is a church and understand that it's just an investment cult?
Yeah, this is the statement that I found online many times. This is not a religion with a side business. This is a business with a side religion.
Okay, well, yeah, that was pithier than mine.
That is exactly it. The
Mormon
Church.
You got to write yours down.
Yeah, the Mormon Church already owns the most valuable private real estate portfolio in America. That is true.
Just like and Jesus wanted.
Yeah. And the Flatwater Free Press and a reporter, Destiny Herbers, put out a report recently saying the Mormon Church has been buying up land in Nebraska for decades.
Wow.
And while the rate of purchase has slowed down, the overall amount is still going up. And here's from her piece. The church bought a whopping 57,500 acres,
Jeez.
Double the amount of the second largest buyer between 2018 and 2022.
Huh.
The Mormon Church now owns about 370,000 total acres of zoned agricultural land in Nebraska. It could soon become Nebraska's largest landowner, surpassing Ted Turner, who has long occupied that number one spot, if church representatives continue to buy land at their current pace.
Wait, you said it's... So it's working land? It's like farmland?
This is land you can farm on, correct.
Is it currently being farmed on?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
So the two obvious questions, how are they doing this? Why are they doing this?
Well, how are they doing this is they have all of the money in the entire universe.
That
so
is correct.
We'll just check
just
that
to,
one off.
Just to give go back to this, a few years ago, whistleblowers in the Mormon church said they're taking in all this tithe money, ostensibly for charity, but the whistleblower said, well, we work in their charitable division, and that money ain't going out to charity. And they said the Mormon church is sitting on a stockpile of like $100 billion with a B. And since then, we have found that there are even more investments that put their worth at like $163 billion. They have shares. The Mormon Church has shares of stock in Apple, Microsoft, Alphabet, Amazon, Meta, as well as MasterCard, ExxonMobil. They do this
Alphabet?
With the Google's company. They do this with the help of shell companies that let the church hide their investments from public view. And the church keeps saying, well, it's a rainy day fund in case of an economic downturn. And also,
like
it helps
2020
with,
or 2008
right.
or now.
And they say this helps with missionary work. But also, you don't need that much money to do any of this stuff.
You don't need $100 billion for literally anything.
Yeah. So that's why this is even more puzzling, because what are you doing in Nebraska? Because that's not like a tech company or something. What are you doing? And their holding company is called Farmland Reserve Incorporated. Very non-Mormony name.
Corporate culture more than anything in the entire universe.
Here's what the group, Farmland Reserve, which is the Mormon church, here's what they said to the reporter. The church sees, I'm sorry, this is the reporter speaking. The church sees its land buys as a force for good, an investment in agriculture to generate long-term value to support the church's religious, charitable, and humanitarian good works. We don't know
what
how much money.
What good works are you doing?
We don't know. But in 1991, one of the former church president explained their farming plans in the State of the Union for the Mormon Church, which they have. It's the state of the church. He said, we have felt that good farms over a long period represent a safe investment where the assets of the church may be preserved and enhanced, while at the same time they are available as an agricultural resource to feed people should there come a time of need. So basically, remember Jim Baker?
What are you saying?
Remember Jim Baker, that grifter, that televangelist had like his giant apocalyptic buckets of food in case the world. And he's like, well, buy my buckets for hundreds of dollars and now you can eat this slop when you're in your basement
I
and in your bunker.
I forgot about that.
That's what the church says it's doing. It's growing food in the case
for
that
the apocalypse?
For the apocalypse.
Okay, but
that's their claim. That's why they want farmland.
So if you're the Mormon Church and you have $100 billion and you're looking around at the state of the country and the state of the world and you're like, not yet. Things are not as bad as they could be. People aren't actively consistently being displaced from their homes due to climate change yet. Give it a couple of years. Like, the greed, truly, this concept of just acquiring more and more wealth is fucking insane. I don't even do that in video games. Like, I get uncomfortable if I have too much money in video games because I'm like, I certainly could have done something else with this. Like, can you fucking imagine having all of the money a human being could ever need or want or imagine and just being like, no, we're just going to let that wealth build. We're going to get the big T soon.
Because
like,
it's a business.
What the fuck is wrong with these people? I fucking hate it.
So the reason I mentioned Farmland Reserve is the name of their shell company that's doing this, that's a nonprofit group. So this, the Mormon Church,
they were trying to make a profit here.
I know. Before 2007, the law in Nebraska said only nonprofit companies could own farmland. So that's why they created Farmland Reserve Incorporated. In 2007, that law was declared illegal, so anyone could purchase the land. At that point, church
2007.
Already
did anything
had.
Happen
Nothing
right
happened.
After 2007?
I know. So the church was already sitting on 200,000 acres at the time. Then the law was illegal, so now a for-profit group could swoop in. So what did the church do? They created another company, this time a for-profit company, called Ag Reserves Incorporated.
I'm not listening. Mikey just walked in with 24 bottles of wine.
There you go. So the for-profit company owned by the church has been buying up the land ever since then. By the way, Ag Reserves,
from
the Mormon,
just
from
like,
Nebraska.
The state?
They just, no, they buy it from whoever's selling the land.
Okay.
And they're
so
taking over parts.
Small farms can no longer compete. They have to sell off their land and instead of, I don't know, doing something good
That's
with
correct.
It.
By the way, Ag Reserves, the for-profit arm of the Mormon Church, they are believed to be Florida's largest private landowner as well. So
how can a person look at this and think, this is what George Washington had in mind? Do you, like, if we're going to talk about like what the founding fathers thought, do you think George Washington finding out that a religion that did not exist during his lifetime
1987.
Is now the largest landowner in a state that they do not occupy and are sitting on hundreds of billions of dollars for no
and
specific
keep in mind,
reason? Do you think George Washington would be like, yes, we did it. We did it, TJ.
According to David Barton, yes. When you consider how much money the Mormon Church is investing in this land, how much they could be making over the next few decades, and then compare that to how little percentage-wise they were investing into making, you know, the world a better place.
Can you imagine?
Like, that's a reminder of how the Mormon Church puts profit before principles.
I mean, truly, with like,
it's a business. It's not a religion. It's a business.
With $10,000, I could change my program. With $10,000, I could change the program I work for. But, you know.
But.
You know.
I know. There
but
you the, go.
But that isn't going to have all dividends right. Or what the fuck ever. I genuinely, these people are evil. I cannot, there is no way you can justify this sort of behavior from a religious group nonetheless, without saying, no, they're just evil, greedy monsters.
That is the correct answer.
Thank you.
Yes.
I'm very smart.
Let's go to Texas. There is a pastor.
I
was surprised by what this pastor said. Basically, a Texas pastor warned his congregation that if anyone criticizes his criminally charged buddy, who's also a pastor, they will be sniped and taken out.
Excuse me?
Yep.
Sniped with a sniper gun?
Yeah, that's correct. So this is Jeremy Feil, P-F-E-I-L. This is the pastor's name.
If you're a pastor, runs, you gotta get away from that last name.
He runs Accelerate
Pastor
Church.
Feil, come on, guys.
Nah.
Yeah,
he runs Accelerate.
Accelerate.
Church. Yep, in Amarillo. And you can't find this sermon online anymore. He deleted it.
Why?
I don't know why, right? But not
it's
before
a threat to bodily harm.
Not before people clipped it. I'm going to play you that clip. Listen, I know last week's audio did not work for many of you. I think we have fixed that problem. We will find out very soon based on your very angry emails. I think
angry.
We fixed it. I'm going to play the clip of the sermon, and we'll talk about it afterwards. Again, and then I will tell you who he is talking about. Here's Jeremy Feil.
I'm saying this because you might have heard that my friend James Randolph has been lied about recently. And whenever I get a call from him and he tells me about that, he's going to court tomorrow. I believe that he's going to be, I believe justice will be served and all liars will be exposed. Eventually it's going to happen one way or another. You mark my word. It always happens.
Always happens.
To think that people that left our fellowship are somehow involved in encouraging that made me go on high alert. I'm not going to allow people like that around here, and I'm letting you know that. They're not going to come and video. They're not going to come and do this. And if you still talk to them and you listen to them, you're going to be sniped and taken out, and you don't come crying to me later. I've warned you and warned you and warned you and warned you and warned you. If you think this is a personal matter, you've missed the entire boat. This is a spiritual war that we're in.
Oh, boy.
Men that I respect and look up to are being lied about.
By whom?
Now, you can either trust that or not.
Now, wait for it.
I know
it.
We live in David. I don't know if we can trust.
We're going to get to another section of a sermon now in
pervs.
A second.
Pervs run away from me. They always have.
What?
Yeah, you heard it.
Since I follow God with all my heart, they've run away from me.
What is
I told
pervs?
A story. I heard myself on the radio telling it recently.
Is he gay?
You may not understand this. I've reached out to the LGBT lifestyle for a long time.
Bing bong.
In the past to try to get them born again. And one night I had one of them in a car. I went to pick him up for church, and he had grown his nails out. And he said, I tell you right now, if you hate on me, I'll scratch you to death. I said, you ain't going to touch me. You're going to either repent or else you're going to get out of this car. I ain't putting up with that. Now, I'm not hating on anybody either, but I don't have to confirm your sinful lifestyle. The church does not exist to confirm sin. It exists to get you out of sin and so that you can reign in life.
All right, let's talk about that. That was weird. First of all,
journey we just went on together.
His I don't hang out with pervs t-shirt has a lot of people asking questions already answered by the shirt.
Wait, it was a shirt?
I'm saying, for a second. What's he saying? I don't hang out with pervs.
Pervs run away from me.
He's saying all these accusations that his buddy did something criminal. He's like, well, I would never hang out with such people.
Oh, I forgot about this aspect of it. Okay, mm-hmm.
so
obviously his friend was accused
of something very bad. We'll get to that in a second.
Okay.
The second part of his little sermon there was like,
strange.
You guys, I reached out. Not to gay people. He said, I reached out to the LGBT lifestyle for a long time.
Just the operating switchboard.
That's how it works. And one night I had one of them in the car, which is
so,
a weird thing. What's he doing?
One of them
picking
in the car
them
and
up?
Up for church?
Right.
But he said one night, right?
Did like someone in the LGBT lifestyle call him like an Uber and say, I need to go to church. And by the way, I'm going to scratch you to death.
I can't think of the last time.
Why was he in the car?
I had somebody in my car who like
that you didn't know
that I didn't know personally and very well.
Yeah.
Also,
who apparently doesn't want to go to his church, so why is he picking them up?
Okay, so he picks up this person.
By the way,
I
know this is not the point of the story, but I can't.
But we're going
to
dig into it anyway. We have to figure out the scenario.
Why was this person in the car?
And how long had it been since he last saw him that he grew out his nails? Unless he got like
right
tips.
He knew he had grown his nails out.
So and he said he knew he'd grown his nails out.
And this stranger stranger in the passenger seat says, I tell you right now, if you hate on me, I'll scratch you to death. Why is a gay person who knows he's a pastor who hates gay people getting in the car and saying, if you don't like me, I'm going to murder you?
I mean, listen, I've never hitchhiked personally, but I've seen a lot of movies and TV shows and I read a lot of true crime. And I feel like that is the kind of conversation hitchhikers have, is like, if you make a move on me, I have a knife and I will fucking murder you.
Sure.
Because they feel unsafe. Or sex workers do that.
And this guy is just strolling around the streets, picking up
people to take to church.
I have so many questions about that.
Evening church.
Anyway, back to the main part where he said, I'm going to murder you if you criticize my friend. He was talking about his friend James Randolph. Let's talk about James Randolph because this is actually important.
I keep thinking you're about to say James Randy and it throws me for a loop every time.
Sorry.
No, it's there fine. You go. It's just
so strange. Randolph is the son of a son-in-law of a televangelist named Mark Barclay. Who is Mark Barclay?
Just follow me here. Son-in-law of a televangelist is the worst human
so
you can
be. So he's in the
be.
Family business.
Yes.
So Mark Barclay was a Christian grifter who once asked his followers to donate $79,000 so he could repaint his private jet.
Oh, how'd it come out?
I'm sure it was lovely. So this is the family Randolph married into. Randolph also served as a minister in Mark Barclay's Living Word International Church. So the dude we are talking about, James Randolph, is in the family business of televangelism.
And he married into it.
Uh-huh, married into it. Or at least he was part of that ministry
until
last month when he was charged with all these alleged crimes.
Okay.
What was he charged with? Let me tell you.
Wait, can I guess first?
Oh, you're not. Yeah, sure. You get one guess.
Is it bad? Is it?
I mean, it's bad, but it's not specific.
So if it's a crime, that's what I wanted to discuss. Like, it's a crime, so it's not like he cheated on his wife or something like that. This is not what we're talking about, criminal charges. It has to be some kind of pedophilia kind of deal.
So let's talk. Randolph was arrested and charged with first-degree criminal sexual conduct involving a relationship, 4 counts of second-degree criminal sexual conduct, and 1 count of accosting children for immoral purposes for crimes allegedly occurring in 2011.
Got it in one.
Hmm. Randolph is charged with 7 felony counts, I just told you, and is out of jail right now on a $500,000 cash bond. His second-degree criminal sexual conduct charge include 1, allegedly with a person under 13 years old, and 2, involving a relationship. So we're talking a charge of criminal sexual conduct against a child. Now, the specifics of that, we don't know the answer to because it's not a public record. The church says he was placed on administrative leave after the charges were filed. They added, like, very pridefully, it sounds like, the allegations do not involve the church. And and the alleged acts did not take place in the church. So,
yeah,
like,
guys,
don't blame us.
Not Jesus' fault.
By the way,
he only lives in the church.
Right. The arrest came months after someone else who worked at the same church was charged with almost identical crimes. That's not part of this story, but I just want to point that out. So, I don't know what this guy did with the child, allegedly. I don't know what else he is actually accused of, but the charges are serious, and they will be tried in court. Thankfully, they're being taken seriously by people outside the church. But this is the backdrop to what is that preacher from the very beginning audio clip? What's he talking about? Going back to what he said for a second, here's what he said at the beginning of that clip. You might have heard that my friend, James Randolph, has been lied about recently. And then he said, I believe justice will be served and all liars will be exposed. But then he says,
is he accusing children of being liars?
And anyone who sympathizes with them. Mm-hmm. And he says, I'm not going to let people talk like that around here. They're not going to come here to videotape. I don't know what they're going to videotape. But he says, if you still talk to them, people who believe the charges, I guess.
Yeah.
If you still talk to them and you listen to them, you, people in this church, are going to be sniped and taken out. That is what he said to the people who believe the allegations.
What I like about Christianity is it's not at all like a cult.
Not at all.
He threatened his congregants and they're like, yay, we get to murder people.
He also urged his church in another clip to avoid social media where details about that case might be posted online.
Overall, not bad advice. Mm-hmm. Avoid social media.
I mean, yeah, that's true. The guy who clipped the sermon, at least the first person I saw who clipped the sermon, also noted that in a different part of the sermon, he also bragged about how his 2-year-old child obeys him because this guy threatens his son with a wooden spoon.
2-year-old children don't obey anybody.
Yeah. Neither do like 14-year-old children. Yeah, doesn't matter. Fair.
If you have a child and your expectation of it is obedience, you need to get yourself a German Shepherd.
Yeah. For what it's worth, he also said in that sermon,
adopt, don't
he's
shop.
Going to court tomorrow, and I believe he's going to be like freed or
tomorrow.
Whatever
tomorrow.
Tomorrow being when he made that sermon.
Oh, gotcha.
When he went to that court hearing, which was earlier this week, court records just show that the court denied a motion brought by his attorney to like amend the terms of his bond. Long story short, they're still holding hearings on this guy. Mm. The case is expected to go to court. It's still ongoing.
Is he in jail or is he free?
I believe he's free.
Okay.
I don't know what the terms of the bond are specifically, but the point is this will be heard in court. I don't know if it'll be a jury trial or a judge decides it or whatever. Mm. But you know how this is going to end, because even if this dude, James Randolph, is found guilty...
Slap on the wrist.
What is this... Well, maybe. But what's this pastor going to do? He's not going to admit he misjudged his friend. He's not going to admit his best friend is, indeed, a perv. Mm.
A perv.
Like, that's to use his word.
Perv? Like, it's not 1996.
Like, he'll just get more defensive and then ignore any evidence of the crimes. And if people in his congregation dare to consider the proof... He will treat them as outcasts and slander them with like religious rhetoric and then cut them out of any church-based social circles like cults.
I mean, it's so sad. It's so sad that these children are shrapnel in this legacy of men feeling insecure and trying to exert their power over anybody they can. And so often the only person they have power over is children. I mean, this is such a symptom of toxic masculinity. It really is. Like, the fact that men, time after time after time, and some women, mostly men, get into power and then do horrible things. Like, power does not corrupt. Power shows who you are. And if you are an insecure mess who needs power and you can't get it over your boss or your congregation or your wife... You're going to control whatever you can. And if that's a child, so be it. If it's an animal, even better. Yeah. Like, this is horrible. Horrible. These poor children. These poor children. In the name of what? Amarillo's world's giant cross? Like, they have the biggest cross in this quadrant of the earth. What's it called? Fucking hemisphere.
What?
Shut up. Like, really? This is a little place. This is Amarillo, Texas. And... all of this shit is going on. It's going on all across the country because men are broken. Oh. It's so fucking sad. These guys need to get a fucking hobby.
Well, a different hobby because the ones they have are very weird.
I don't think sexual assault can be considered a hobby even in the most glib circumstances.
Let's talk about Denmark. Last story for you here.
Okay.
Because
I don't have any stories about Denmark.
Don't worry, I do. Denmark just passed a law making it a crime to desecrate holy books in public.
Oh, we've done this. Like,
we talked about it earlier.
This is the end of a long situation?
Yeah, and they chose the wrong approach here.
Yeah, Denmark, I thought you were supposed to be the good ones.
They are supposed to be the good ones. So last week, the nation's parliament passed a bill making it illegal to burn the Quran in public places.
Specifically only the Quran?
Well, not quite. But... they also said you can't burn the Quran in public places and you can't do it in private places if you record it and post it online. The bill technically applies to other religious texts and other forms of supposed desecration, but we all know what they're referring to.
But it's not name-checked as the Quran.
It's not
name-checked as whole. Okay, I just want to make sure we're clear on
that. The bill prohibits, quote, inappropriate treatment of writings with significant religious importance for a recognized religious community.
Recognized religious community is going to get them into a lot of trouble.
You have to apply to be like a registered religion, and the bar may be low, but you have to be on the list, which, again, the list includes everything.
I forgot other countries are better.
Yeah. In practical terms, this is according to an article about this, in practical terms, it will be forbidden to burn, tear, or otherwise defile holy texts, either publicly or in videos intended to be disseminated widely.
Intended to be feels a little...
Yeah, it's ambiguous. Those who break the law risk a fine or up to 2 years in prison. So we talked about how this was a possibility
a
couple months ago.
Can you imagine a Danish prison, though? I bet you get fresh pastries every morning.
It's probably
and,
nice.
Like a little reading nook. Huh.
But this means in 2017, when we talked about this last time, in 2017, Denmark repealed its 334-year-old blasphemy law. That was in 2017. They repealed it. It was useless. It was outdated.
And 6 years
time.
Later, they're like,
seven.
Actually.
Yeah. 7 years later, they're now bringing it back. Oh. And the reason they're doing this specifically, and this is when we talked about it a couple months ago, there were a series of protests and deliberate provocations in countries like Denmark and Sweden nearby that have smaller Muslim populations. Mm. But in Denmark alone, between like July and October, there were like 500 book and flag burnings, some of which involved burning the Quran. And it was basically an attempt to block immigration by Muslims and from Islamic countries. So it's a lot of right-wing bigots doing this specifically to piss off Muslims.
Yeah, this feels like it should have been less about, oh, we need to protect religious books and more, we need to protect the Muslim population.
That is
maybe
basically
that's how
why
I would have approached this instead of being like, yeah, the problem is they burnt a book. No, the problem is they're antagonizing Muslims.
Well,
and
that
this is
why
the way
they're
they
doing,
are doing
it. So this bill isn't about free speech or opposing free speech. It's really trying to do a peace offering to prevent diplomatic fallouts. And part of that is capitalistic because Denmark has ongoing trade with Saudi countries. That's part of it. They also don't want like right-wing Muslims to be mad at them.
Sure.
And so the end result is that this action, which on the surface like doesn't hurt anybody, even if a right-wing bigot is doing something I find stupid, doesn't hurt anybody, but now they're going to call it a crime, which means well-intentioned free speech activists will be swept under the same rug as anti-Islamic zealots who want to just provoke Muslims. Mm. And to be clear, like burning a book, even as an act of provocation just to make people mad, that is not in the same crime ballpark as anyone who commits violence in response.
Truly.
Like, but intent should count for something, but it won't under this new law. And one of the high-ranking politicians in Danish politics said when the bill was even presented, it is a cornerstone of our democracy that you have the right to express yourself. You also have to behave properly. And no, you don't. Behavior is in the eye of the beholder. Free expression doesn't mean anything if certain forms of free expression that are nonviolent and symbolic and don't put anyone in direct danger are
such
forbidden.
A good point.
And so here are some questions that I would love answers to, but I don't have. What if someone burns a blank book with no writing inside, but says on camera, this is a Quran? Like, does it actually have to be a holy book? Does that person get punished? I don't know. What if you burn a Quran during a YouTube live stream in front of like a viewing audience of practically nobody?
Sure.
But then,
but
like, are you actually
to distribute? Right?
Are you trying to disseminate it widely? I know you all want a wider audience on YouTube, but if you don't have it, does that count?
Yeah.
Actually, remember the Denmark-based publication Jyllands Posten? They were the ones who years ago published printed cartoons of Muhammad. Purposely provocative. They said in response to a draft of this law that even someone with a very low profile on YouTube, like they can have so many followers that such a live stream could be declared illegal. What if you burn the book in private, but someone else records you doing it without your knowledge or gets a hold of the video and then disseminates it widely? Who gets in trouble then? The person disseminating it or the person on camera? I mean, what if in response to this law, there's a mass burning of holy books as an act of free speech without the actual intention to disparage religious groups? Are the police going to go after all of them? I don't know. Like, that's where it's messed up. In Sweden, where they have a lot of similar concerns, especially capitalistic ones, their politicians have not gone this far yet. They're at least considering whether they should consider national security risks before punishing people for, like, burning a holy book. Like, if this this is going to create a riot, we may go after you. If you're doing it in the name of free speech, maybe not.
Right.
But also, again, what determines that distinction? Because there are zealots who will go after random nobodies who do this sort of thing who aren't trying to start it. So I don't know. But the politicians who support the bill, they're saying it's not as extreme as you think it is because you can still do written criticisms of religion or oral criticisms of religion.
Thanks, Denmark.
They said like Muhammad cartoons, like the ones in that newspaper years ago, those would be legal. But if you're banning book burnings, even if you can appreciate the sentiment behind it,
what if I tear up a book? Is that the same thing? What if I cut it?
Which
if I
type
it,
of book?
What if I throw a Quran in a wood chipper?
You are desecrating it.
So then, it's desecration. It's not burning?
Correct.
Oh, okay. Sorry, then I messed up.
But like if you're banning book burnings, you are giving, and specifically banning holy book burnings, you are giving those books a special status they don't deserve. Like, and if we're carving out an exemption for certain religions or any religion, why stop there? Like, why not go after deliberately provocative cartoons of Muhammad? Why don't the rules apply to other beliefs and other books that are revered by large groups of people? Like, again, I don't worship, like, On the Origin of Species, but would I be pissed off if someone burned it? Yeah, probably. But also, no one cares.
Okay.
No one cares.
Can I just...
Pick a book. Pick a book like. It doesn't matter if it's burned because they don't care about it under this law is my point.
No. I understand. Like, I think just... I cannot imagine anything that isn't like a singular possession of mine being burnt and me feeling any kind of way
about
it.
But it doesn't matter. That's the point.
I know it doesn't,
If people did, it doesn't count because they don't care about your feelings, but they do care if it's a religious feeling. That's the problem.
I just want to kind of take a larger perspective of like, maybe the act of burning a book should not be the provocation.
Yeah.
Got it?
I mean, especially if it's like, your property and it's
like maybe
that.
If we started having more conversations with religious leaders about like symbolic speech and what you have to tolerate and what you don't. And like,
well, they've been trying to have that with Muslim leaders for decades.
Yeah,
that hasn't gone anywhere.
This all feels gross.
Humanists UK, they issued a statement against the new blasphemy law. They said this new law is a considerable backward step for Denmark in fulfilling its obligation to promote and protect the universal human rights of freedom of religion or belief and freedom of expression. Mm. And one of their directors said to suggest, like, we would never advocate for desecration of books, venerated objects, and symbols. Mm-hmm. But to suggest that this, in and of itself, impacts a person's right to freedom of thought, conscience, and religion is unacceptable.
Sure.
Unless it's constituted as part of a wider hate crime. Human rights law applies to people. Books, venerated objects, symbols, much like flags, are not protected by the right to freedom of religion or belief.
Yeah.
So now it's going to become a law. It's like a formality. The queen has to stamp it with her tiara or something.
Wasn't there a thing with Denmark that they were trying to join NATO or the EU?
Not Denmark.
Or was it something else?
Finland was.
Was it Finland? Oh,
and
okay.
I think they're in, so they're fine. But this was an issue where...
I just felt like
where,
it was sort of part of that conversation of...
I think Denmark is...
Yeah.
I forgot. Okay. I'm not going to comment. So, again, I'm wondering, is Denmark actually going to imprison people for criminal acts with no victims?
Yeah, this
that's
feels
where
like
this is going.
It's ultimately
going
to have very little teeth.
It's we'll see.
That's my guess. My guess is that we're
but
probably
Denmark
never...
Denmark is coddling them now.
They are,
and that's
but
the
I...
mistake.
I mean, not best case scenario, but hopefully we just never hear about it again because
I
it's one of those, like, the way that there's still some places that, like, it's illegal to walk on the right side of the sidewalk when
it's
sunny out.
But now
it's
on the books.
Of course,
and the question
it's bad.
Is, by having it on the books, someone is going to use that to justify whatever they want to go after, and that's going to be a problem down the road unless they repeal it, which they're not doing right now.
My guess is I bet we're going to see some kind of demonstration, like you said, of like a mass burning of a lot
I
of shit.
I think that's going to happen.
I don't see how else we can demonstrate the frivolity of this law, right? Like, it's pointless.
That's all I got.
Really? That
went
fast. I didn't cry once.
Only an hour and 20 minutes. It's all good. You can reach out to us at friendlyatheistpodcast@gmail.com. You can support this show by going to patreon.com/friendlyatheistpodcast.
Hey,
we appreciate the support.
You can always email us. We used to read listener emails a lot more frequently. We don't really get those kind anymore. So friendlyatheistpodcast@gmail.com, right?
Mm-hmm. Do we have any reviews
to
read?
We sure do. This is from Painsky, my weekly oasis of sanity. You two in this podcast are who helped solidify my Christian deconstruction and give me permission to finally use the A word. Thank you for your fresh perspectives every week on our crazy world.
We are assholes.
Jessica, thank you for always saying how dirty garbage trash people as white men are. I'm trying to be better every day. Y'all are awesome. Listen, when I dunk on white men, and I do it a lot, this is just...
She means it, every word.
I mean every word, but it's more of an invitation for you to do some self-examination and not an indictment on you personally. We have a bonus episode coming back. There goes my phone.
I saw a movie.
You did?
Kind of.
What was it called?
I'll tell you in the bonus.
Okay, that's not how plugs work, but whatever. Last week, Mikey and I saw Waitress, the musical with Sarah Bareilles, in movie theaters. Like, AMC by us does a series. So we saw Anything Goes a couple of years ago with Sutton Foster?
Yep.
Yeah. And we just saw Waitress, and I'd never seen it. I'd never really listened to the soundtrack because I like to see it first. And reader, I wept in such a real way. It was outstanding. Sarah Bareilles is a fucking talent of a generation. I adore her. I'm also about a third of the way into the most recent Hunger Games book, the prequel, Ballad of Songbird and Snakes, or Snakes and Songbirds, unclear. I'm really enjoying it so far, and I would like to talk to you about it. Also, as we talked about when you came pre-Mike, I'm rewatching 30 Rock for the first time in a really long time, and just am having kind of a religious experience about it and would like to talk about it.
All right, we'll see you in the bonus.
Goodbye.
Bye.